And I think we're joined now by Rick Serling. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Rick, it's really I'm glad you're with us. It's SyriaSolidarityMovement.org, and you are one of the founders.
Yes.
And what the heck? Let's ask you this. Why was it necessary to form a Syria Solidarity Movement? What was your goal?
The goal was basically to counter massive misinformation and disinformation in the mainstream media, and even a lot of the alternative media actually. So in about 2012, after the conflict had been going for about a year there, a group of us, especially people from Canada and the U.S. Who had worked together in the past, we started communicating by email and setting up a listserv, and then soon after we formed Syria Solidarity Movement.
Well, it's in my opinion, it's doing great work. I've gone to that site many times for information because, as you point out, it has been, we're at the mercy of a rather powerful consensus in media in North America, certainly in Europe.
That
generally.
Is correct. And one of our first large projects was to sponsor a continent-wide tour by a nun who has worked in Syria for the last 20 years, Mother Agnes Miriam. So we hosted her in many cities across the U.S. and Canada. And it was very successful. And she talked about the reconciliation movement in Syria. Mm-hmm. She talked about the reality on the ground. But she was fiercely attacked by all sorts of some people are basically
people you'd like
strong
to think
supporters.
Know better.
They're connected with the Muslim Brotherhood, or mm-hmm. they're connected with one of the Islamist groups that's pushing for the overthrow of the Syrian government. Some of them are funded by Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And they also have managed to misinform some people on the left as well. Mm-hmm. So she had a tough time. She was criticized. She was attacked as in various ways. But she's a very tough nun, mm-hmm. So she withstood all of the attacks very calmly, and she just
that'd be a good title.
The reality.
One tough nun.
One tough nun, yeah, one very tough nun to crack. Mm-hmm. So Mother Agnes, she stood up to the abuse, and she calmly said, well, this is the situation as she mm-hmm. sees it, and she's been working there on the ground. Some of the people attacking her claim to be Syrian. One woman who's been influential, she left there. She was born in Syria, and her parents took her away when she was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if she's ever been back, but she's supposedly the Syria expert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in any case, mm-hmm. That was a good project. Mother Agnes spoke in Montreal and Ottawa as well as Toronto, and I think perhaps yes. Hamilton as well.
Yes, and by the way, she's given courage to a lot of other people. And again, I congratulate Syria Solidarity Movement. I hope people go to that site, SyriaSolidarityMovement.com.
Yes.
Now, I need to get your assessment. You've worked very hard to bring about a resolution of this matter in Syria and to get people to take a more objective view. What is your view of the current situation? We have a ceasefire, and of course now we have more rather famously the Russians involved. A year ago, no one was talking about the Russians being so significant a role, and things seem to have changed somewhat. What do you think of
the
situation?
Yeah, the Russian air support, there are no Russian ground forces. All there are is Russian air support, and they've got technicians and mechanics to service the planes. But the Russian air support began at the end of September, on September 30, and it immediately made a dramatic difference. So because the Syrian Air Force was basically old planes and they didn't have guided missiles, so they were basically dropping gravity bombs, and they were under severe attack last spring when the so-called Army of Conquest, heavily funded by Saudi Arabia and Qatar with Turkey, and supplied with very advanced weaponry, was advancing in northern Syria and managed to take all of Idlib province. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in the last 4 or 5 months, the situation has reversed dramatically, and the Syrian army and their allies, there's militias, there's community groups, Hezbollah from Lebanon has been supporting the Syrian army. Mm-hmm. They've been advancing, and right now, I was just preparing this week's Syria News and Analysis Gazette, and they are approaching Palmyra, the archaeological treasure in eastern Syria. So the Syrian Arab Army is approaching Raqqa, and apparently the civilian population in Raqqa is rising up against ISIS. And the Syrian army is also advancing on a city called Jisr al-Shugar in northern Syria near the Turkish border, which was the scene of a horrific, a brutal battle, and it ended with the execution of a lot of Syrian soldiers, actually, last spring. At that time, one of the things that I find remarkable about the conflict is the amount of foreign fighters that have been paid. They're basically mercenaries who have been fanaticized. So the big attack last spring, the Nusra Front, which is one of the major, it's the al-Qaeda branch in Syria. It's called Jabhat al-Nusra. The Nusra leader, he gave an acknowledgement to the Chinese Uyghur fighters who were the spearhead of their attacks.
Amazing.
1 year ago.
By the way, so why doesn't the media here tell us all about that?
You've got Chinese Uyghurs, you've got all sorts of Chechens, you've got people from all over northern Africa, Tunisia, Morocco, and Algeria, and so forth, Egyptians, and Canadians. Mm-hmm. As your listeners probably know, there have been many Canadians who lost their lives there, who were brainwashed, deluded into joining ISIS, and committing atrocities there, and usually ending up being killed themselves.
Yes, in the Canadian media a year ago, the Ottawa Citizen was reporting that there had been people in and out of the Canadian embassy who were linked to some of this, some of the recruitment, right?
Well, exactly. The Canadian ambassador to Jordan. It would be very good if some listeners were to go online and send a little inquiry to the Canadian embassy in Jordan, which covers Iraq as well as Jordan, and ask the ambassador, Bruno Saccomani, is it true that he has been colluding with ISIS?
Yeah.
Because an ISIS recruiter was arrested in Turkey, and it turned out that this ISIS recruiter was a frequent visitor to the Canadian embassy in Jordan, and had also been to Ottawa.
And actually, yes, it made more than one trip.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all very suspicious. And of course, Bruno Saccomani was an RCMP. He was a bodyguard for Prime Minister Harper.
Well, those are wonderful qualifications.
Terrific diplomatic credentials.
Yeah, we associate with bodyguards with diplomacy.
How many RCMP, former PM bodyguards, become ambassadors? So it's rather, in a way, you know, this is the conflict there. There's an open side to it, and then there's a dark side to it. There's a side that's hidden, that's secret. And CSIS knew about the five young men from Calgary who got recruited to go to Syria via Turkey. Mm-hmm. And I talked with the mother of Damien Claremont, and she told me that Damien received his fresh new Canadian passport 2 months before he left, and CSIS knew all about it. They knew what he was up to.
Yeah.
They said nothing to his mother. They didn't stop him. They didn't call him in for questioning. They didn't ask, well, is it true? Or, you know, we have reason to suspect you're going to join a terrorist operation. They didn't say any of that.
They seem to have a kind of a NATO approach to this. Similar things happen all the time in Turkey, right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And Turkey has been horrendous on this. It's almost unbelievable, the collusion between the Turkish government, the Erdogan government, and ISIS, to the point that in last June they took Mosul. It was July or August last summer. The New York Times reported on huge quantities of ammonium nitrate fertilizer going across the border from Turkey into ISIS-controlled territory on the roadway to Iraq and Ramadi. And sure enough, 10 days later, ISIS launched their assault on Ramadi with 10 truck bombs, each one the size of the Oklahoma City bombing devastation. Turkey was selling huge quantities of bomb material, ammonium nitrate fertilizer, to ISIS. And then Turkey was receiving oil from ISIS and was sending it out on a shipping line that's owned by the Turkish president's son.
Yeah.
It's just
and nobody could establish that until the Russians began to bomb.
Exactly, right. And then meanwhile, the U.S. and their so-called coalition, including some Canadian aircraft, I think, is the Canadian Air Force still supporting that effort?
No, only, as I understand it, they supply fuel to those flying in the area, but now I think they've ceased. They're not using warplanes in the zone at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's a very good... it's a very good move to get out of there, because nothing good is happening, and it's the Syrian and Iraqi people that are going to defeat ISIS. The outsiders have created ISIS directly and indirectly. Saudi Arabia provided initial funding. The ideology is very similar. ISIS ideology basically follows the Wahhabi extremist sectarian religion of Saudi Arabia, and they've recruited in the West, and the West has looked the other way, and hundreds of Canadians. I've got a photograph of a pickup truck with its heavy artillery mounted in the back, and the truck has a California license plate.
Oh my gosh!
So.
Yes. Somebody once owned one of those trucks, actually sued them over that when he found out his truck was in Syria being used by ISIS. I heard there was a lawsuit.
Oh, really? Okay, I hadn't heard that. That's great.
Well, by the way, this is Rick Serling, and he's one of the founders of the Syria Solidarity Movement .org, and I know he's in command of the file, so I can ask this question, which is I'm hearing that there might be U.S. Airports or somewhere in a Kurdish region. Have you heard these reports, and do you have any assessment what that might be about?
Well, there are reports. There's reports actually of a second one being built now, and I think that that's very credible. Actually, I haven't seen it doubly confirmed, especially about the second one, which is reported to be around Kobani, which is on the Turkish border. But the first one is up very close. It's in the kind of the corner of Syria near the Iraqi border and toward Turkey in the north. And I think that's quite credible. What they plan to be doing there, I don't know. But part of the one of the fighting forces there now is something called the Syrian Defense Forces, the SDF, which is supported by the U.S. Now, it's combining Kurdish fighters with others. It's always a little bit suspicious when you get the U.S., because the U.S. has been playing It's been double dealing for so long there.
They're trying to figure out who to double cross, I think.
Yeah, who to double, you know, who, you got to just wonder when the double cross is going to happen.
they can't make everybody happy the way they've played this. This, again, is Rick Serling, and it's SiriusSolidarityMovement.org. I want to ask you a last question. Now that we have an actual ceasefire and real negotiation process, shouldn't Canada, the United States, and others drop the sanctions, open embassies, and start turning this into more of a state-to-state and manageable situation?
Well, that would be a great move. That'd be a very positive move. But just one little addition there. It's not a ceasefire. It's a succession of hostilities, and it doesn't include the biggest fighting groups, Jabhat al-Nusra, the Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Ahrar al-Sham. Mm-hmm. So it's limited. Now, it's been promising so far because the other groups the succession of hostilities has been largely effective to date. But I think what you're suggesting there for the West that claimed to be that has been attacking Syria and doing the sanctions, supporting the violent opposition, for them to stop that would be a terrific move, and it'd be very productive. It would save a ton of money, and then the Syrians and Iraqis would clean up. They would finish with ISIS and Al Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a wonderful step in the right direction to open up relations, start talking with the Syrian government, and have internationally observed elections in the future.
Absolutely.
And see what the Syrian people think.
Yes.
I was there in October and November, and I've talked with a lot of people, and the Syrian government is widely supported. You'd never know it in the Western media, but the Syrian government is actually very popular among the majority of the people.
Well, you know, it only makes sense that a government that defends its people against a bunch of terrorists is going to be rather highly thought of.
It's under attack, and the irony of ironies, they criticize it because they call it an Assad dictatorship. Well, who's doing the major funding? It's, you've got monarchies in Saudi Arabia and Qatar.
Absolutely.
So they're 1,000 times more popular and democratic in Syria than they are in Saudi Arabia or Qatar.
Yep.
And if the Syrians want to make changes and improvements, that's for them to do. Let them do it. It's not for Canadians or Americans or Saudis to say, well, we're going to support these the armed opposition overthrowing the government.
Absolutely. Well, Rick Serling, SiriusSolidarityMovement.org, we're very grateful you took the time, and it's been most enlightening. Look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, all the best.
All the best. Thank you. Bye-bye. Rick Serling, SiriusSolidarityMovement.org, very well spoken, very well informed. I would urge you to go to that site. There's a couple of very nice documents you'll find there that if you want to inform yourself about what is actually taking place in that region, in particular, in that war.